I do a lot of marriage counseling, and have for a long, long time. I myself have been married, coming up on 21 years, and over the years, I've seen a lot of hard things. I've seen a lot of really good things too. I've seen people make big changes and improve their marriages and the love that they have for one another. But I want to encourage wives right now. I want to encourage them to have a heart that goes out to their husbands. And never to point out to them that they're hypocritical with regard to trying to become more godly. Sometimes if a man hasn't been a good man, if he's been lazy, he's been not consistent in his walk, or maybe has committed some really serious sins against his wife and so on and so forth. When that guy starts to try to get his act together and wants to, okay, say, I want to change and I really want to move in the right direction, a wife can sometimes start to give them a hard time and start to act like, you're just being a big hypocrite. And I just want everyone to understand something. Men that know Christ are already well aware of that fact, that they are hypocrites, that we don't live up to what we're supposed to. There is not a day that goes by, not a day that goes by. And I have seen this dozens of times in marriages, dozens of times. There's not a day that goes by that I don't look at myself in the mirror in the morning and the thought goes through my mind, who are you to be a pastor? Who are you to claim to be a follower of Christ? Who do you think you are? And the simple fact is, I'm not adequate for those tasks, and I don't live up to the things that I say and teach to others. We've been in my family. I've had kids for coming up on 19 years now, and we've done devotions almost every day, almost every day, and I always feel like I'm a hypocrite because all those kids and my wife, they see my sin and they see that all the things I do wrong and they see the times I lose my temper. They see the times that I'm not a good man, that I get impatient and that I can be, I can fret and complain and fuss. And that's just not right. It makes you feel terrible. You know you're hypocritical and you know you're being sinful and you're not setting a proper example. And yet, you're still the man that everyone looks to, and you're the one that's got to be consistent. And okay, folks, kids, everybody, let's get together. We need to read the Word of God now. We need to pray together. And those people and your family have seen all your sin all day. And hopefully, it's not anything on the level of abusive or anything like that. That's a whole different ballgame. But people see your sin. Your family sees your sin. Your wife knows that you're sinful. And it's difficult for men to stay the course and not to get discouraged. There's a wonderful text of scripture in Proverbs 31, and it's a passage I've preached on over the years a lot because I think it's so important. But it speaks about the godly wife in these terms. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Rubies, that's right. And there's another proverb that says that houses and wealth are an inheritance from the Lord. But who can find a prudent wife? A prudent wife is from God. Only God can give a man a godly wife. But verse 11 and 12 are just precious to me. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. He knows that she knows. He is not consistent with what he says and teaches and preaches and requires of himself and others. She knows that. And yet she's still a place of refuge for him, where he knows he can trust her. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. We speak so much about people who are brokenhearted, people whose hearts have been just crushed by marriage. I've seen it on both sides, husbands and wives who have been heartbroken by the other. But there are men who, by the grace of God, are really good men, and they're trying to be better. and they are convicted all the time that they're not better than they are. Okay, now some men aren't like that. Some men are just bad guys, and they don't care about people, and they're abusive, or they're unfaithful. They don't care. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about men that are faithful to their wives, that love their wives, and who sincerely want to disciple their family well, but they see their own inconsistencies. They see their sin, and it's difficult. It's hard. It's tough. So to the wives of such men, of good guys, good men that really are trying, that want to be closer to the Lord, that really want to change the things that they've done wrong and get better than they are. Wives, your husband's heart needs to be able to just safely trust in you. In verse 12 of Proverbs 31, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's not going to constantly throw his inconsistencies up into his face. She's not going to mock his attempts to try to become better because she knows he has a track record of failure. When you see your husband trying to become better than he is, ladies, I just want to encourage you to encourage that as much as you can, to love him, to be thankful that he's trying to do something better, trying to do something different, trying to improve himself. And I've seen this a lot. I've seen this, as I said, not once or twice, but dozens of times, where a guy finally does decide that he needs to get his act together. He wants to be a spiritual leader. He needs to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to understand the Bible better. He really wants to grow. And the wife will just not want to get her hopes up. And so she'll just mock his attempts to do that and just give him a hard time and not be supportive of him. And that's devastating. That is absolutely devastating to men. And I want to turn it around. It's devastating to women too. If women have not been what they should be, and they start realizing that there's things that really need to change here, and I really need to be a better wife. I need to be a more faithful companion to my husband. I really need to try to draw out the best that's in him, and not throw things in his face and stuff like that. And when the husband sees that, he needs to encourage that too. Very often, married people are almost have an almost adversarial relationship with each other, and that's devastating. It's so destructive. So no matter what's happened in the past, I just want to encourage everybody that people can change. People can change. There, when I think of all the sin that getting married as young as I did exposed to me, exposed my own life, my own heart, and as I've said before, I thought I was a nice person until I got married, and then I realized that I wasn't as nice as I thought I was. I had to learn. I had to learn how to be self-giving and self-sacrificial, and to put someone else's needs before my own, so that my wife would feel loved by me. But that is a two-way street, and so I just want to encourage husbands and wives both to have a heart that really breaks for the other. Have a heart that goes out to and has compassion on the other. No matter how people may have failed in the past, we as Christians believe God is in the business of changing people. People really can change. And people can be completely different than what they used to be by the grace and power of God. And hopefully, your marriage relationship will be a place where that draws that out of one another, where because you are a place of safety and there's peace there. And I know of all the relationships I have in my life, whether it's working relationships or neighbors or friends, family, things like that, this one person is never going to intentionally try to hurt me. This one person is the place of safety. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. He knows she's not going to try to hurt me. She doesn't want my bad. She's not going to make fun of me. She's not going to mock me for my inconsistencies. Men who are godly men are well aware of their own hypocrisy. They are well aware of the ways that they fail. And what they need more than anything from their wife is help. Remember Genesis 2:18? It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an ezer, that is the Hebrew term, a helper. I will make a helper comparable to him, complementary to him. That term negev means opposite correspondence. I will make a helper who is opposite corresponding to him to help him. As men need that help, they need help. And especially if they're good men and godly men who know Christ and really are trying to be better than they are, they know. They are well aware of their failures, and they see them every day. And for their wife to use their failures against them, to try to bully them or to try to hold it against them and hold that you're not consistent and you've been hypocritical. We already know that. We already know that. What I really need is for someone to notice the attempts I make to try to do what's good, the attempts that I make to do what's right. And so, just want to encourage people to do that. I was working on a blog article this morning, just thinking about this, just thinking about how much men and women both they need someone to be on their side. They need someone to be on their side, and who more than the husband or wife to be on their side and to be someone who is an advocate for them. And I was working on a blog article. I haven't posted it yet, but just thinking about, as a man, I can tell the world that the hardest fact I face on a daily basis is that I do not and cannot and will never live up to what God says I should be as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. I fail. I do fail. I have failed. I will continue to fail. Every single person that I am called to love in my life, I will fail them. And I'm well aware of that. And that is the biggest dagger to my heart on a daily basis. And I have said in my prayers and say this constantly, God, I do not understand how you can love me. How can God love me the way I am? There's nothing here to love. I'm so wicked, selfish, whiny, fussy, weak, and cowardly. And the divine answer is, I love you because you're in Christ, because I have put you in my Son. I have hidden you there. And I love you because of him, and only because of him. As Ephesians 1 says, we are accepted in the beloved one. And the beloved one, of course, is Christ. That's why God loves me. And so, and yet, I'll tell you, every day that I read the Bible to my family, I read the Bible to them every morning and every evening, and we pray before and after we read the Bible together, and it's like an echo chamber in my brain. Patrick, you are a hypocrite. You do not live up to what you teach to others, and I'm well aware of that. But I can tell you, if my wife was constantly pointing that out to me, if she reminded me of that herself on a daily basis, instead of encouraging the good that she sees there, that would just be devastating. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so I want to encourage husbands and wives both, have a heart that breaks for your spouse, especially if you see them trying to improve and trying to grow closer to the Lord, because they do see, I have failed in these ways, and I want to change. I want to be different now. I want to do better than I've done in the past. And just know that if you have a godly husband or if you have a godly wife and you see them recognizing I'm not what I should be and I want to improve, I want to get better, please encourage that. Please encourage that. Don't mock them. Don't give them the idea that, yeah, you can't change. You can't be anything other than what you've always been. Because number one, that's not true. That's a lie. God changes people all the time. God helps people become what they were not before. And I wish I could go, but I've thought about at age 42 now, I wish I could be 22 again and be just getting married, knowing everything and having changed and improved in all the ways that I have by the sole grace of God over the years, and start over again and be so much better at loving Amy and loving my children. And yet, there's a great t-shirt. I'm not a big fan of Christian t-shirts, but I saw one that really stuck to me because it was just such a great saying. It said on the front, I am not the man I should be. And on the back, it said, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. That's true. And so men that are godly, they kind of live in this strange world between worlds. I am not what I should be, and I'm well aware of it. I know it's true, and I don't love the way that I should, and I don't cherish my dear wife the way that I should, and I don't love my children the way that I should. I am not the man I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God that he has already brought huge changes to me. But husbands and wives, we know where to punch one another to really hurt them. And I just would encourage you, please resist the temptation to do that. When you see any attempts to grow in Christ and to become better and to become more like the Lord and to read the Word of God, to read good books, to try to start up new traditions in your family, like daily Bible reading or praying together, husbands, wives, whoever sees it on whatever side, you need to encourage that. You see a little ember, a little bit of flame, throw gasoline on it, throw C4 on it. You want it to grow. Never use those kinds of things against one another. It's so destructive. And so as I've seen that over the years, even before I got married, I saw things like that in the church I went to. I saw married folks that were really good at pursuing God together and married people that were at each other's throats. And especially over the 16 years I've been an elder and a pastor, I've seen dozens and dozens of cases where people really made big improvements and really, really made good strides to improve their relationship and to have a heart for each other. And then there's others where there's real animosity, and there's not that encouragement towards one another because of whatever reason. So husbands and wives, please be each other's advocates. God created this blessed institution of marriage for the mutual help of mankind, not the mutual destruction of mankind, but the mutual help of one another. And so when you see people recognizing, I've not helped one another, I've not helped my wife, she hasn't helped me, and the wife's thinking I haven't helped him the way that I should, try to encourage that. Try to encourage it and try to let the other know that you are their advocate and that there is safety with you. Thanks for watching.